What's up, everybody? Welcome to a very special episode of PSI Love You XOXO, episode 23. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside, as always, the OK Beast Blessing, Eddie Oye Jr.
Greg Miller, I am very exhausted right now. I just went through a journey.
Yeah. You got the heart palpitations? You over there? You
hanging in there? I'm barely hanging in there, but I'm in here.
That's what I need from you. Joining us in our first volume two, PS I Love You. Oh, no, I guess that's true. But first opening with more people, it doesn't really matter. Forbes 30 under 30, a.k.a. the second best baby blues in San Francisco, a.k.a. the verified one at Tim Geddes.
Let Tim host. They did it, guys. I'm so impressed. I can't wait. PlayStation, man, dominating the game.
Rounding out our quartet, he's the Hispanic heartthrob, Texas treat Latino heat, clicking heads and ripping them to shreds. The globe-trotting headshot nitro rifle from twitch.tv, Andy Cortez.
I feel incredible right now, guys. I'm currently working on the thumbnail, so you all keep talking. I'll listen and absorb the information. But wow, I just feel like I'm on cloud nine right now, dude.
So as I said, obviously four people, that's special enough. But what's happening, ladies and gentlemen, if you're watching this later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames or listening on a podcast service of your choice, the PlayStation 5 reveal event literally just ended, and your post-show reactions for it are going to be this episode of PSI Love You XOXO, recorded live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live, of course, you have a special job. Go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. You can enter your questions, as always, to be part of the show. Of course, on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, you can get every episode of PSI Love You XOXO ad-free, usually with a post-show. But today we have to record The Last of Us Part 2 review that goes live on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames at 12:01 a.m. Pacific time, Friday morning. That's tomorrow. So there's a lot of kind of funny stuff going on. If for some reason you didn't know, though, PSI Love You XOXO is your PlayStation podcast. Each and every week, Blessing and I get together and bullshit about PlayStation. If you like that, subscribe to youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Watch the podcast wherever you can. Do that stuff. Patreon, you understand. While I'm telling you all this, get the housekeeping out of the way so we can get straight into it. The Last of Us Part 2, or Last of Us Part 2 review, like I said, 12:01 a.m. Pacific time. On top of that, we are doing the core Kind of Funny Game Jam Friday after Kind of Funny Games Daily, awarding a bunch of prizes, going through a bunch of levels built around Kind of Funny. And remember, the Kind of Funny Game Showcase is, in fact, the Guerrilla Collective this time around. We partnered with our friends over at The Mix to put on an E3 three-day showcase event, demos, announcements, brand new games, surprises. It starts Saturday at 9 a.m. Pacific with a presentation you don't want to miss. Thank you to our Patreon producers, who you can be just like at patreon.com/kindoffunny games. Mohammed Mohammed, aka Momo, Connor Nolan, aka Connor Dowell, James Hastings. Oh. No, we don't do that. It's Connor Dowell.
All right. I like Kono, but that's fine.
I don't know. So I don't care what you like, Andy. Sancho West Gaming, Julian the Gluten Free Gamer, Delaney Twinning, Aaron Bolina, or no, Bonilla.
Bonilla for this? Bonilla, like Bobby, okay. Bonilla.
Okay, that makes sense.
The Boner Bonilla.
Okay, Aaron, the Boner Bonilla. Jeffrey Long, Jesus Barrio, aka Bent Fork_PR. Ladies and gentlemen, let's start with the X's and O's and recap the PlayStation 5 event around the table. Tim, what did you think?
I honestly can't imagine any way that could have been better. I think that was one of, if not the greatest video game press conference, whatever, that we've ever seen. And while I don't think that there were too many like mind-blowing out of nowhere surprises like we've seen before with Final Fantasy VII Remake and that type of stuff, we don't need that. We're living the year of dreams is turning the decade of dreams, and I think that consistent high quality is what matters most. And we are seeing a Sony fire on all cylinders right now going into this PlayStation 5. Spider-Man being a launch window title, whatever it is, this year, I think is something that none of us would have seen coming. Right. And it is such a power move, and I think such a statement of what they are thinking for this console. Most games we saw on this were either 2020 or 2021. And if this is the first year and a half of this console's life, what's the future going to look like?
100%. Blessing?
I thought it was excellent. I thought they did a good job of setting what the expectations were to be for this and then exceeding them, right? Like, I think you look at recent events. And like, you look at Xbox's third party next gen thing, for example, and you look at how expectations were set for that as something that was leading up to next gen and something that was supposed to set our expectations for what next gen games are going to be. And that ended up under delivering, because I think when it comes to PS5 and Xbox Series X and what next gen is, a lot of people are looking to be wowed. A lot of people are looking to be blown away. And I think they did a really good job of talking about how, yeah, this is going to be an event that's going to show games. We're going to show games that are going to take advantage of the hardware. And they came out and they showed games, right? They showed great third-party games, but then they also had like a good selection of first-party games that are that have people excited, right? Ratchet & Clank, Spider-Man, Demon's Souls, right? Like, there's some Horizon Forbidden West. Like, there's so many titles here that I can point to as games that are that might not necessarily be for everybody, but they're for somebody. Like, I think no matter who watched this, there's a game for you. And I think that's the biggest success of this thing.
I think that's one of the, that is where they excel, right? And I think they, you know, promised that they were going to show you experiences you could only have in the PlayStation 5, and they delivered that. And that's where the Xbox third-party thing got a little weird, right? We knew they were third-party games, but coming into that and then seeing them, and then there wasn't gameplay for Assassin's Creed and all these different things, PlayStation delivered on its message, right? I mean, you can, I have a PlayStation press release I want to read from when we actually get the show started, but you read down, like, they broke it up here, right, of PlayStation 5 games from SIE Worldwide Studios and second party partners, right? So these are the true exclusives: Astro's Playroom, Demon's Souls, Destruction All-Stars, Gran Turismo 7, Horizon, Forbidden West, Marvel's Spider-Man, Miles Morales, Ratchet & Clank, Rift Apart, Returnal, Sackboy, A Big Adventure. Then PlayStation 5 games from third-party publishers and developers: Bugsnax, Deathloop, Ghostwire Tokyo, Godfall, Goodbye Volcano High, Grand Theft Auto 5, and Grand Theft Auto Online, Hitman 3, Jet the Far Shore, Kena, Bridge of Spirits, The Devil in, I'm sorry, Little Devil Inside, NBA 2K21, Oddworld Soulstorm, Pragmata, Project Athia, is that how we're saying that? Resident Athia. Evil Village, sorry?
Oh, Athia. That's Athia. How I pronounce it.
Resident Evil Village, Solar Ash, Stray, Tribes of Midgard. Woo,
Solar Ash, baby.
And then The Pathless. Andy, what was your take here?
I think what is most important, I'm of the mind that maybe I was just so excited about all these other titles because I was already in such a good mood from seeing Spider-Man. Sure. And like, maybe that just, I think that was like the perfect way to set the tone for this conference. But still, I wasn't expecting to see so many smaller third-party games that I actually give a shit about now. And usually those are the filler games that you see, and it's like, maybe I'll check that out if it comes to Game Pass or whatever. But
sure,
there were so many really awesome looking smaller titles. Really cool, like the girl with the magic and the little creatures with the little fur, like
Kena, right?
Whatever that was called. Kena. And then I'm thinking of the awesome whimsical music one with the dual planes of action game. I'm already forgetting all the names. Yeah. Sorry, yeah, there were so many smaller titles that just look really damn good and interesting that I didn't know about and now I care about.
Yeah, yeah, I agree with you so much, Andy, with that, where it's like so many of those games, we see things similar in other shows, and it kind of doesn't feel as impressive because that's all that's being shown. And I think that these are elevated because they're being surrounded by all these amazing games that we've known for so long about, or like anticipated, like Horizon or Spider-Man. But I think that even just looking at third-party announcements alone, this was a killer conference. Like, look at the first-party side, and it's pretty much unrivaled in terms of this amount of these high quality announcements. Look at the third party side, a major Square game, Resident Evil, Bethesda's games, like the ones that we've been most excited about for a while.
That was the thing with Bethesda not doing a conference this year and saying they would seed their stuff other places. There was that concern of like, well, when will we hear about Deathloop? When will we hear about Ghostwire? To have them both here was huge.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, I agree. I think this conference for me did a really good job of selling me on games that I hadn't heard of before. Right, like even Bugsnax, which we were laughing at during the trailer. Like,
that's just such a Greg Miller game that he made up in his mind right now.
Like, oh, it's a game. Yeah. You're half bug, you're half snack. Whatever you eat, you turn into. Yeah, it's a game.
Yeah. But even that game, like, I came out of that trailer being like, I kind of want to play that. Like, I want to check that out. Like, that trailer for me, like, stood out as something that was interesting. And that's the thing I could say about pretty much 95% of these trailers. Like, a lot of the games that, like, Solar Ash, for example, right, coming from the Hyper Light Drifter devs, right? Yeah. Like, that's a game that looks super cool. And I've not played Hyper Light Drifter. I want to play Solar Ash. In fact, seeing Solar Ash makes me want to go play Hyper Light Drifter.
It's a spiritual sequel to it.
Gotcha.
Like,
gotcha.
Yeah, it's still like very much involved in that world. So I cannot recommend enough to go play Hyperlight Drifter. It's so good.
They did such a good job, I think, setting these games up for success. Whereas, and I hate to like keep referencing the Xbox third party thing because it's a PlayStation podcast, but like coming out of that Xbox third party inside Xbox show, right? Like one of my things was, all right, cool. Like there are some games here that I'm interested in, but this whole thing felt like it was set up for Assassin's Creed Valhalla. And even when we got to Assassin's Creed Valhalla, like that didn't necessarily deliver on the level that people wanted to deliver. And so by the time I came out of it, I was like, all right, cool. Like I didn't necessarily get what I wanted here. From this event, like it felt like everything was set up for success. Everything was treated equally, which is, I think, is the biggest thing for me, right? Like they start off with GTA 5, which is cool, right? But then follow that up with Spider-Man. But then also like they pay the same amount of respect to Spider-Man that they pay to games like Solar Ash or Hitman 3 or Astro's Playroom or Little Devil Inside, right? Or Bugsnax, right? It doesn't feel like anything, like nothing here feels like a side story. It all feels like it's a part of the same main narrative, which I mean, I think is really cool.
That is the most impressive thing is for anyone listening to Kind of Funny for the last couple of years, like I am always very critical of the production elements. And I care so much about how these things are presented. And I think that this was perfect. Like this was 10 out of 10 from beginning to end of keeping the hype there, keeping you interested in every single moment, going back and forth to what's up, Andy.
Greg, I can't find the document for this. What episode is this, 24 or is this 23?
We're on 23.
23. Thank you so much.
But I just feel like the segues with all the motion graphics that we talked about so much, because there's so much love and care put into the ethos of PlayStation and making it feel like a community, making it feel like all of these games are equal and all are together. And we should all be excited about as many of these as possible. And I loved the way that they set it up and paced the entire conference, where I was never not interested. There was never a moment, even when like the NBA 2K stuff, it's like, because they set such a good pace of understanding of, okay, a lot of these things you're getting a trailer, like we see the PlayStation Studios logo, or we see whatever third-party studio it is. Then we get the trailer, we get the brief bit of the devs talking. There was the consistency of look and vibe between all of them that I think helped a lot.
To what you're talking about, where, you know, right before this, when we were doing Games Daily, there was this conversation of, I don't know what this thing's going to look like. And we've seen so many different cracks at it, where there has been just trailer, which is a normal state of play. There was the Xbox showcase, which was, you know, Zoom calls all over the place, and Aaron Greenberg with the hilarious fridge that was the Xbox Series X. I wasn't sure what to do this. And I think that even if I had been plucked from 2019 and shown this thing, I'd be like, oh, it's interesting that they're not doing a stage presentation and everybody's on black. But I wouldn't sit there and be like, oh, they're in the middle of a pandemic and they're all totally separated. And this is not how it's going to be. You know, Blessing throughout the entire hour and 10 minutes just marveled at the transitions they had.
But again, the transitions, it's like they were crazy, but it's like I love the commitment to the sacred symbols. I love that they're and also like to have that PlayStation Studios branding now that like they debuted a month ago or whatever it was, to see it in action and see the commitment to it, like that is what creates passion for, you know, these communities and for like why we love PlayStation. It's so great
to see. I mean, to my earlier point about like them feeling like they're treating everything the same and treating everything like something worth paying attention to in this conference, that PlayStation logo, right, whenever PlayStation Studios popped up, there's still that level of like, oh, okay, cool, let's strap in, let's see what this is, I think that's a success, right, where they established that as the branding about a month ago, and already like they've done a good job of using it and using it in a way where we all know what it is and we're all excited about it, right? Like they've that is already a success for them, that logo.
Yep.
So what I'd like to do here is, you know, we just finished this, obviously. Well, actually, hold on. I was going to say, there's a press release that came through that I want to read. I'm not sure how much of it is just PR speak, but it's always usually a few interesting tidbits. Before we even do that, what did you guys think of the box? You said earlier that there wasn't like a huge thing. For me, the fact that PlayStation is doing a discless PlayStation 5 is pretty fucking huge.
That's crazy.
That's huge. Yeah, that is huge. It's interesting, and I'm very excited to see the pricing. I imagine that the reason they did this is because the PS5 is going to be $600, and they want to have a cheaper version out there. I just don't know how much cheaper they can get that, right? Like, do we go 4 and 6? Because 5 and 6 sounds a little crazy to me. But in terms of just the look of the box, this is going to be extremely divisive. It is definitely not going to be something that everybody loves, but I love that they don't give a fuck. I love that they're committing to this vision of, we're going to be different. We believe in next generation gaming. Like, they keep talking about generations. And if you're going to do that, make this thing look like a fucking space age crazy piece of tech.
Yeah, I do dig it. I do love it. I can't wait to be playing a video game out here in the living room. The lights are off and it's got that blue glow from the vents coming off of it, right? Matching the blue glow coming off the DualSense or whatever. Like, I think there's a cool vibe to it. I did make the comment when it got revealed that it looks like Wayne Tower in every Batman comic or video game of all time. I stand by it, but I still like that. I still like that it looks different. I can still see that under my entertainment center ready to do its thing. Blessing, yeah. What do you think?
I also, just real quick, I love that it Fuck looks you, like it's a giant fan.
Oh yeah, like, sure. Yo, until they get air moving in there, so it won't be like
so your many in my palm.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Like, can't wait.
Yeah, I think this is cool. The design is cool is because it solves that, right, which is awesome. I like how it looks visually. Like, I was originally worried about the dual tone design. Like, I like my boxes to be black, right? I don't like the idea that they could conflict with any other thing in my room. That like my PlayStation looks like it's part of a different scheme than my Xbox, which looks like it's part of a different scheme from my TV. Like, yeah. I wasn't necessarily like a fan of that idea, but looking at the box, looking at how kind of sleek it is and how well it goes with the controller and how like how dope it looks when it's illuminated, when it's on, like. You know, I'm sold on it. I think the most interesting thing is that it's standing up, just like the Xbox Series X, which sure. I guess is just the thing we're gonna have to get used to, and I'm fine with it.
Well, I mean, like, you don't have to have it standing up. They showed it laying down, just like an Xbox has confirmed that you can lay down the Series X as well. I think this is similar to how the PlayStation 4 technically, right, stands up for a lot of people, and they have the stands for sure. Forever.
I think
next year to look at it standing up.
I absolutely love it. But I'm always a fan of super far future looking tech. I feel like I would have loved whatever they put out just because I love Sony's sense of design. It looks wonky and weird as fuck, but I love that. I love that they, just like Tim said, they don't give a shit about what really you think. They're not going to make a conventional sort of box thing. All their consoles have always looked really cool and weird and odd, and I love that. I love how, I don't want to say brave, but like, you know, it's one of those things where it's like kind of what Apple does, where you're going to buy this shit anyway, you know, and I really enjoy that sort of approach.
There's a bunch of pictures I'm looking at now, and it looks like it, at least based on these pictures, it seems it won't be horizontal unless it has even a stand. Like, there's like a horizontal stand as well.
Interesting.
So if I want to lay it down, I have to use the stand too?
It looks like it, because it looks like it would be wobbly otherwise.
The thing is, like, where am I going to... If it is horizontal, yeah, I guess it doesn't need a stand because it's very curved, and I'm worried that I won't be able to put sodas on top of it.
Andy, I just put a thread into the chat right now in Discord if you guys want to.
Thank you so much.
I find it interesting how different it looks. And I know, like, all the PlayStation consoles have generally looked very different from each other, but this one is the biggest deviation that we've gotten. All right, and that falls in line with the DualSense in a way where I'm surprised, also not surprised that they're calling it the PlayStation 5 because branding. But at the same time, I feel like they could have gotten away with calling it something else because that's how different it strikes me as like.
Wait, it does look like the stand comes with it already, though. Like, that's the stand it uses for being vertical.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying you have to buy it separately. I'm just saying that, like, I think
you can't
to
put it flat.
Oh, for sure, yeah. I mean, yeah. It's round and weird.
It's weird. I love how weird it is, and it's like, I would prefer it to look different, honestly, and I think that just goes back to, like, my favorite console design, well, PS2, of course. But besides that, the Xbox One X is such a beautiful piece of tech, and it's so small and so compact and so powerful, and I like that it is just a sleek box. You cannot get more minimal than that. But I like that this is different. I like that it
does
is
look like
really
a clam cool. opening.
Ew.
Yeah. Ew.
No, I'm all about that life.
Oh, let's read this press all black one here. Real?
No, that's
the lights being turned off. Their lights aren't on yet. First off, one of the things we're talking about, we mentioned Grand Theft Auto, if you'd missed it, enhanced and expanded version of Grand Theft Auto 5 coming to PS5, new standalone version of Grand Theft Auto Online will be free to all PlayStation 5 owners within the first 3 months of the title's launch in 2021. Also, of course, if you have GTA 5 now on PlayStation 4, they're giving you a million GTA bucks or whatever every month, they said, starting right now. Back to the press release. Innovation and creativity collide this holiday season as Sony Interactive Entertainment reveals new details for PlayStation 5, including the next generation console's design and a deep lineup of brand new titles coming to the platform. In a live stream event today reaching millions of gaming fans, SIE showed the PlayStation 5 hardware for the first time with its bold two-tone design marking a radical departure from previous PlayStation consoles. PS5 will launch in two options, a standard model with an Ultra HD Blu-ray disc drive and a digital model without a disc drive, offering unprecedented choice at launch to gamers. Today's live stream also provided fans with a first look at the new games that will define the next generation of gaming on PlayStation 5. Across dozens of titles, most of which are launching as console exclusives or full exclusives on PS5, the world's most talented developers showcased the potential of the hardware, which will unlock rich experiences for gamers, bringing them deeper into extraordinary game worlds than ever before. Quote, with the PlayStation 5, we are making a significant leap to deliver a truly next generation of transformative play experiences that will redefine expectations for what games can be, said Jim Ryan, president and CEO of SIE. Worlds will be richer and more beautiful. They'll captivate your senses in ways you didn't think possible, and you'll be able to experience them much more seamlessly with lightning fast loading. Today's showcase is just a glimpse of what's to come in next generation, and we want to thank our community for taking the journey to PlayStation 5's launch with us. One of the biggest series of all time, Grand Theft Auto, and we already talked about that, and we will again here too. Yeah, and the deal with the $1 million, it says here, is all GTA 5 PS4 owners will get 1 million GTA bucks every month until the PlayStation 5 version of the game launches in 2021.
Let's go, baby!
Yes, exactly right.
Very excited about that. Yeah.
Additionally, I did this thing line up in more depth here. Reels third party publishers. Yep.
This is a sidebar. I'm looking at an article, and I don't take all this with a grain of salt because I don't necessarily believe it. I'm looking at an article from thegamer.com that is talking about the presenters in the conference. This article is saying that those weren't real people; they were rendered, like they were like animations. Which I don't buy it. But
no,
they were real people.
They were real people. Okay.
This is back. Kevin, do you write for thegamer.com? Remember during the stream?
Guys, They looked super well lit. And some of the lighting didn't make a lot of sense. Like one of the last guys had a lavalier mic on his lapel, and the shadow was like shooting up. It just, I don't know, man.
The only reason I pointed out is because Kevin pointed it out as like they looked weird, and then I saw this article and I was like, all right, I don't think so, but I'm just gonna bring it up just in case somebody saw something that I didn't.
Real quick, before we move on, just impressions to talk about the games. SIE also announced a slate of new PS5 accessories to enhance the gaming experience, including Pulse 3D wireless headset, offering 3D audio support and dual noise-canceling headphones, HD camera, featuring dual 1080p lenses for gamers to broadcast themselves along with their epic gameplay moments, a media remote, a remote control with built-in microphone to navigate movies and streaming services with ease. Built-in microphone, that's interesting, so be like, PlayStation, move it to whatever. DualSense charging station, for convenient charging of two DualSense wireless controllers. SIE will announce pricing and additional details for PlayStation 5 at a later date. And then we're back into their giant list of games here. When we talk about games, what stands out to you guys? Blessing, what do you want to start? When you think about what you just saw, what's the one that jumps to you?
I mean, I'm probably most excited for Spider-Man, Miles Morales. Yes. Like, one, that's a great name. Just calling it Spider-Man Miles Morales, like that's a good direction. It makes me wonder, like, if we're going to get a Spider-Man 2, and if this is just a spinoff, because there's more to the Peter and I guess spoilers to Spider-Man 2018, right? There's more to the Peter Parker story there. There's like stuff that's set up, and it doesn't seem like that stuff. As far as what we can tell from the trailer, it doesn't seem like that stuff is tackled really. Spider-Man Miles Morales and this Miles Morales game, right? Like if it's a spinoff, like. That works, right? Like that's cool. Like they're able to tackle into his story without necessarily being like a thing within the main story.
Totally, and that's what we were talking about while it was live, right? Tim, you're with me that you don't expect this to be a full fledged game, right?
Yeah,
I expect this to be like the DLC.
Here's my thing: I hope that it's more like Lost Legacy than it is DLC.
Sure.
I hope it's a bit more substantial of a thing. It's hard to believe that could be the case of it coming this year, but. I mean,
that's 3 years.
Is it
right?
Though?
Lost Legacy came out the year after Uncharted 4.
I feel the way that they pumped out the DLC that this could be like up like close to a 10-hour little, again, not DLC, but a $40 thing, you know?
Which is it's awesome. And I mean, knowing Insomniac, right? They've done that before with Ratchet.
And it definitely, like, we should have seen these signs, obviously, like, with the way the first Spider-Man ended, and you know that Miles is going to play a key part in the future. But then with all of the, check how fast Spider-Man loads on the new PS5 SSDs, you know, like, all those footage we were seeing, all those leaks, it was right in front of us, guys. We just never saw it, you know?
Yeah, and I think this would make sense from the sense of Insomniac has multiple teams working on them, working for them, right? Like, it's been... I guess only 2 years by the time this is going to come out. like this strikes me as like a Lost Legacy type thing where it'll probably be a little bit shorter, but I don't necessarily expect it to not be a full game. Like I kind of expect it actually to be like, how much was Lost Legacy? Like $40?
It was 40.
I expect it to be in the $40 range, and I won't even be surprised if it is like a $60 thing where they are treating it as a full-fledged title.
I just love that it seems to be a launch title. Like that is such
a holiday 2020. Yeah, that's the same thing they're saying for PS5, right? I think for sure it's a launch title.
That's a baller move that I wouldn't necessarily expect from PlayStation. Like traditionally, we haven't seen them launch with like some of their heavy hitters, and you don't get much heavier than Spider-Man, right? Like that's very, very cool. We've been, you know, theorizing like, oh, is it going to launch with Horizon? And we talked about that for years now at this point. And I think that the one thing that we're always kind of debating was like, oh, does it make sense with not enough PS5s in the wild or whatever? How do you get PS5s in the wild? Spider-Man.
Yeah. 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 You take your best-selling PlayStation game of all time. Yeah. And you give it a sequel or DLC. I mean, this is going to be standalone. I mean, but you know what I mean? In terms of a full-fledged sequel versus a smaller experience, you put that out on this thing in day and date. And that's the other thing. I saw people in our chat talking about it, like, oh, well, this will clearly be a cross-play game, right? Or across, you know, PS4 and a PlayStation 5 version of it. You do think so?
I think so. Yeah.
I think they leave it on PlayStation 5, man. I think this is what you're, because like that's the other thing where, you know, as we're going through and this is all happening in real time, and obviously we're catching up and doing stuff, right? Like I'm the one who's been saying Horizon 2, which we now know, right, is Horizon Forbidden West.
It's still 2. It's Horizon 2.
No. You said they hit a 2 in the title, which I didn't see, but I haven't had a chance to go back and look. But when Angie talked about it, she said Horizon Forbidden West. She did not say Horizon 2 Forbidden West.
Because definitely there's a 2 in the.
In the PlayStation talks about it here. They call it in their official press release Horizon Forbidden West. There's no 2 actually
in the logo. I see the 2, but I think in the actual title it's just Horizon Forbidden West.
What I'm driving to with that one before we get sidetracked too far is that I've been saying that's going to be a launch game, and they did not give a release date for it. They just talked about it and are you know, welcoming you back and showed you the trailer and showed the infection that we saw at the end of I see what you mean, the no Roman numeral there in the line.
Yeah,
gotcha. Anyways, they were the infection that, you know, that red stuff we saw at the end of Horizon, right? It was like one of the teasers is actually going to be a thing. It looks like as Aloy has to stop that as it goes across the world. But back to my point here. So we see all these Sony first-party games here, and it is that question of, well, how many of them are actually launches, right? Like, what are we talking about in terms of stuff that'll actually be out for holiday 2020? And what, Astro's Playroom, I don't think got a date on it. I'm looking at their thing and coming back over here.
I don't think they got a date.
Yeah, and so it's one is you start looking to it, right, of what actually got dated. Like, it's a big deal that they said holiday 2020 for Spider-Man Miles Morales, because for the rest of them, they really didn't, as I'm looking through here and scrolling, right?
And that was the thing I actually wanted to bring up when you first asked, like, how we feel about the conference overall, because my one critique is that it seems like we don't have a good idea of what the launch lineup is. Like, I assume that quite a few of these games are going to be there, right? Especially the ones that say holiday 2020. Like, you can assume that those are going to be launch titles.
Yeah.
But for the most part, like, the launch lineup doesn't seem clear. And that's something that will probably clear up as we get closer and closer. But like looking right now, right, like Spider-Man Miles Morales is going to be holiday 2020, so that'll probably be a launch, either launch title or launch window. Bucks Next is holiday 2020.
Every and then
I fucking love Bucks Next, man.
Like bug juice.
Bucks Next.
And I'm looking through, like, I try to take notes as the conference went on, but like some of them kind of lost me. But those are the only two games that I have written 2020 here, and I'm sure there's other ones. Spider-Man and Bucks Next. I'm sure there's other ones, but I probably missed them.
Yeah, well, it's that I'm also comparing off of things right now as I look over here, because like I just got a press release from Jet 2020. I saw that. I have a release here from Annapurna saying that Solar Ash is going to be 2021, and then Stray is set to be 2021.
Yeah, like a lot of these games are 2021,
but that doesn't bother me because 2020 is just a month and a half for what they're referencing here, right? Like the difference is so minor, and I think that obviously. You can't have too much stuff at launch like that. Then that just doesn't make sense. Like have Spider-Man and have third party titles that we can all kind of expect will be there. You know, the Assassin's Creeds and Call of Duties and whatnot. Like I also think that the launch lineup will become clear once they start talking price and date.
For sure. And also Godfall, I should loop in there, and NBA 2K21.
I the whole time I was thinking, like, I would have loved to have been a fly on the room in Sony during all of the Xbox third-party showings, and I would have loved to have seen if they added or removed anything from today's conference because of the reaction to Xbox's conference. Like, if it, like, Mm-hmm. Was there anything reactionary that was done there in terms of, you know, oh, none of the, we need more futuristic looking things, or we need to ease up on, you know, the old gen shit. Like, obviously this is focusing on PS5, but I'd still be so interested to see what their reaction was to this.
The main parallel that I saw was the NBA 2K thing, where like it's so well mirrored that Madden 2021 reveal from the Xbox thing, where I was like, oh yeah, EA obviously made some kind of deal with both of them to be like, hey guys, you guys get Madden, you guys get 2K, and we're gonna do the same exact thing where we have an athlete this time from the New Orleans Hornets,
Pelicans,
baby. Pelicans. That is made up. That is such a fucking.
It's not.
Bill and Ted did something in the universe, and this is. I wake up and you guys are all like, "Oh, it's always been the fucking Pelicans," and I'm like, "I've never heard of this team in my life."
When this stream ends, you need to look up the first New Orleans Pelicans mascot. I'm telling you, it's like gritty level of really bad and horrifying. Yeah, look it up.
It's fantastic. We're away. Terrible. Yeah, man. So something I want to bring up actually is the start of this conference. Like, it's starting with the Rockstar logo was definitely misleading. God. And I think kind of like a bad look from just like a overall perspective of we understandings of what that means. You know what I mean? Like, we expected some major announcements. But now that it's all over, and now that we have the context of all the amazing announcements they did make, I think it's fucking brilliant. Start with that GTA 5, one of the best-selling game of all time, right? Like, the people are continuing to play. Show the commitment that game's going to still be playable on the next system, and lure people in to have the, hey, if you're playing now, you can work your way up to that with the money that they're giving them. It's just like, that's a great way to kind of keep people in these giant games as a service type things.
Yeah, and it being free is crazy.
The online, yeah. It's like, yeah. That stuff, that's great. All of that stuff is like great news, and I love that they were kind of like, here it is, cool. That's the old. Let's move on. Let's all have the new stuff now. All of that's great from a business perspective. There's still so many questions I have about the PlayStation 5. And I'm not worried. I'm not upset that they didn't talk about all the stuff in this, because they said they were going to show us games. And God damn it, they did. But I still want to know about their smart delivery type thing, their backwards compatibility type stuff. Like, I want more details on all that. And it's nuts we still don't know.
Well, this is back to the whole thing of what we were saying beforehand. When I say we, I mean me. Is that they would end with the console, right? And then not give you release, not give you price. And it'll be down the line, there'll be a blog post. Because, you think about it, we still don't know the UI. We don't know what the PlayStation 5, like when you turn it on and look at it, and what how I'm organizing things is going to look. One thing I do want to toss out from a you're wrong perspective. I was answering some texts I can't talk about and talking to some people I can't talk about and looking through the press release.
Forward all that shit to me if you don't mind.
You got it. I thought I misheard, but it seems like I didn't misheard. Were you guys saying that NBA 2K21 isn't an EA game? That's a 2K game, right? Somebody was confused. I saw the chat.
Oh, Blessing said EA.
Yeah, I messed it up. Now I think about it, that
no, you. It's one of those things. Welcome to the live reaction. You just went like, I know you know that information. I'm just pointing it out. And some people are like,
oh, that's a good point.
Oh, man. You want to take some questions? You want to see what the audience was thinking over here?
Yeah,
let's do it. Can we talk about Ratchet and Clank though?
Yeah,
I'm very excited. Like aside from Spider-Man, Ratchet and Clank is also my other biggest, like, my favorite announcement from this thing. The way they showed it off was excellent, right? Like, you actually get an idea of how it's taking advantage of the new system, of how it's taking advantage of the SSD, right? With all the dimension collapsing and like switching through worlds and all that stuff. Like, that stuff looked awesome. Visually, like, it looked awesome. Like, it didn't necessarily read to me as that much better looking than Ratchet and Clank 2016, which also looked really great. But dude, with Wes, all the lights,
you're watching a 1080p compressed video.
Wes, like, I remember when you first came to Kind of Funny and we played Spider-Man, and you were like, this is how this game's supposed to look when you saw it in 4K and HDR.
Oh, yeah.
Now that, you still don't have a 4K TV, right?
No, I don't. Yeah.
Damn it.
I'm rocking 1080p.
As soon HDR. As you have the opportunity, you need to play Ratchet and Clank 2016 on a TV with HDR. It is absolutely gorgeous. And 4K. With all the ray tracing and stuff, oh my God. Like, this game is going to look so much better than 2016.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's about to look insane. I was kind of disappointed. I feel like my biggest disappointment may have been Ghostwire. Seeing it in first person, immediately when it was revealed, this is first person and this is sort of the general vibe of the game. It's more actiony than, it's still kind of scary, but it's more actiony, you know, like with the shooting and the pushing powers and all that shit. But so it kind of underwhelming for me. Some of the animations look weird. Yeah, like the thing is, I love the style. I love that weird control Kojima scary shit. But there was still a lot of the animations that kind of didn't look super great. And I'm kind of
I'm right there with you. Where I think Tokyo Ghostwire or Ghostwire Tokyo had such a huge debut at that Bethesda conference with that awesome trailer, and then watching this, my first. And granted, again, like you're saying, compressed stream, we're doing a million things. Like I thought, oh man, this doesn't look as good as that last trailer did. You know what I mean? Like, I was watching and I was like, okay, cool. The headless bodies and stuff. Like, is this going to be actually fun to do for hours on end, or is this weird? It kind of gave me, I know this is in a way crazy because it's a great game, but it gave me Fatal Frame vibes, as if Fatal Frame hadn't evolved. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it reminded me of what I remember that looking like on PS2, if that makes sense, on GameCube.
So terrifying.
You know what I mean, though? Like, the actual like quality of the models and what's going on and stuff like that. Like, it's got that style to it, and I think will that work overall for it. In the opposite way, I thought Deathloop looked fucking fantastic.
Oh my god,
Deathloop, like
Deathloop was just like Deathloop was a constant I can't believe this sort of vibe for me. Like every encounter, enemy encounter that they had was just speaking right to me. And I know there's a lot of Dishonored vibes in there. I know there's a lot of hardcore Dishonored fans.
Did you not
there.
Like Dishonored?
I tried the first one. It's just something about the environment and the vibe that I just couldn't get with. But the music and the aesthetics in this one, it's for me, dude. I can't wait for that damn game.
No, legit. Like as the trailer was going on, I was like, this is like bullet point to bullet point, like exactly for me, right? Like, you want to talk about like rival assassins and being stuck in a time loop and a group of targets they have to assassinate and like that immersive sim gameplay that you get from Dishonored. Like, all that sounds directly for me in a way where I'm like, yes, this
and all
like
and that, all those enemies look like they have such personality and they're totally different from
the
each other.
The art style is amazing, like the whole motif with like the I guess the old 70s cinema. Sort of,
yeah. Love it.
They nailed it.
You know, something that I'm actually really excited about is what we didn't see. Like, I love that knowing kind of what the first year and a half ish of PlayStation's first party titles are going to look like. This shows us a little bit about like, okay, what's year three of the PS5 going to look like? Mm-hmm. Like, that's where the God of Wars are going to come. That's probably where like Spider-Man 2 is going to land and like that stuff. And like, that's really, really great. Like, I love that we potentially are going to have a lineup more similar to from where we went from like Horizon all the way through to like Death Stranding, as opposed to since then. But like where we have now with Last of Us going into Ghost of Tsushima, if we launch PS5 with Spider-Man Miles Morales, like then Horizon, let's just keep that going. Like, how awesome would it be if we're getting these high quality AAA Sony first parties every 3-4 months, right?
With that logo, Tim. With that
PlayStation
it's a statement,
studio.
Bro.
It's a statement, and even like some of the smaller family friendly stuff, like Sackboy. It's like, it's about time Sackboy gets a game like this. And there's a chance that game is going to be extremely good, you know, and grab people that wouldn't necessarily have played it before. I definitely am not a Little Big Planet person, and I kind of fall into the I love platformers. Just make me a platformer. That looks like a platformer I'd want to play. It looked like Mario 3D World. Like, that's really cool.
Yep.
Sackboy, Greg's always talked about, could be the most relevant kind of PlayStation mascot, and it just never hit that point. From a game perspective, right? And I think that this could be a second life, a new chance for it when PlayStation is undeniably more popular than ever.
Yeah, like I think they nailed it as far as like promoting their mascots, especially their I guess family friendly, at least family aimed mascots, right? Like with the PS4, we got Knack pretty much as the thing that came out of that presentation. That was like the platformer. This time around, we got three different ones with Ratchet and Clank, Astro's Playroom, and what were you just talking about? Sackboy. Yeah, like with those three right there, right? Like that's a good triple threat of family oriented platformers that like I believe are all going to do well as far as what those games are.
Greg, can you link me to that doc of all the releases?
What do you mean?
I should have been typing shit out. Like, I wasn't typing with the every game that was coming out, like game by game.
The thing I've now sent you twice.
I just put it into the Discord chat too.
Oh, got it.
Yeah, you scroll X's and O's there.
But yeah, I mean, it's kind of interesting where when we talk about these conferences and infamously Adam Boys is like, they were going to have a bunch of stuff and it's like some of it's going to speak to you. I feel like this conference, more than any we've ever seen, did that on a high level where it's like, cool, Gran Turismo 7 doesn't really speak to anyone here, I don't think. Correct me if I'm wrong. No,
no, cool. It doesn't.
Kevin right. likes racing games.
I'm but stoked it's like, for it.
We're getting it. It's announced. It's there. And that's huge for people. It's not just like a side spinoff or whatever. It's the next Gran Turismo game, right? Like, we all know it's going to come eventually. I like that we officially know this early, right? And I feel like that's true going down through a lot of these different games.
Yeah. Like, Hitman 3 is a game that, like, I feel like it's specifically for me, right? And probably Nick Scarpino. Yeah. And like, yeah, if you look through the list, like there are a bunch of games here that I think appeal to each and every one of us. And I think, like I said before, that is the success of this conference, right? Like that is probably the biggest takeaway for me.
What about Jet? Did Jet do anything for anybody? Because I thought when I watched that trailer, I think that might have been when my thing was wigging out too. But like when I was watching it, I didn't understand what that game was about. And I think Andy was like, it's gonna be this long journey or whatever of discovery or something like that.
Yeah, Jet didn't really do anything for me.
Let me read it because I'm reading the press release for it, and the press release sounds cool. Jet, the Far Shore invites you on an interstellar trip to carve out a future for a people haunted by oblivion in this cinematic action adventure. As Scout and Anchorite may be the first to deploy into a mythic ocean. It's in quotes too, so I'm like, Anchorite, all right. Deploy into a mythic ocean planet. Take the helm of a jet and explore the vast unknown. Skim low over waves, roar up pristine coastline, and carve through otherworldly woods. Adapt to an intricate system, open world, and persevere through adversity alongside an intimate ensemble in this story of courage, wonder, and regret.
Features so made by the guys that did Super Brothers Sword and
Yeah, I was just looking at that.
Yeah, it's a team up, right? It's they said it. I have it in my notes over here, which I don't have. Yeah, Super Brother and Pine Scented. And then this press release starts. Sword and Sorcery co-creator Super Brothers AV Inc. and Pine Scented LTD unveiled today as part of the PlayStation 5 Digital Jet, The Far Shore, a new cinematic action adventure game that invites you on an interstellar trip to carve out the future. The game is gearing up for a holiday 2020 launch on PlayStation 5, PlayStation 4, and Epic Games Store.
A tweet just came out from Remedy saying they are glad to be able to share that Control will be coming to PS5 and Xbox Series X. Whoop, whoop. More details coming at a later date.
Oh, Control is gonna look amazing.
Oh my god, dude. Give us ray tracing.
I mean, guys, and again, this goes back to the Gran Turismo thing, but like it's happening with Demon's Souls.
Like, yeah, I was gonna say, we haven't talked about Demon's Souls.
Such a huge audience that is gonna be so stoked that is what Blue Point's been up to. And like, cool, not necessarily for me, but like that is such a huge win for PlayStation. Like, let's just continue these hits coming.
I am 1,000% jumping in that because Imran tweeted out about Demon's Souls. It's from the description that PlayStation put out on a YouTube video. It says, Demon's Souls, this remake invites players to experience the original brutal challenge completely rebuilt from the ground up and masterfully enhanced with a new fractured mode. In addition to beautiful shadow effects and ray tracing, players can choose between two graphics modes while playing, one focused on fidelity and frame rate, the other on frame rate.
Yeah, Demon's Souls is one of those ones where leading up to this event, there have been the predictions and there's been the speculation that Blue Point is working on Demon's Souls. And the whole time listening to that, I'm like, man, Demon's Souls came out on PS3. Does it really need a remake or can they just remaster it? And actually earlier today, right before we did KFGD, I went and just watched Demon's Souls gameplay and I was like, all right, I can see it. I can see them remaking this.
I can't wait.
You don't even you don't think about the PS3 being that old, but looking back at the Demon's Souls gameplay, I'm like, oh yeah, this is a far cry from Bloodborne, right? And what you get with the modern Dark Souls games. Like this is going to hit home for so many people.
I can't wait. As somebody who, again, we've been always, whenever I look in kind of funny comments, there's always people saying, just give the Souls games a chance, guys. Give the Souls games a chance. And after hopping into Bloodborne earlier this year and it immediately becoming one of my favorite games ever, I can't wait to hop into more Soulsborne games.
Yeah, I can't wait to finish Bloodborne one day, you know?
Blessing, come on, man. Who cares about the other game you're playing? Who cares?
So much stress, man. It's such a stressful game, that Bloodborne.
Watching Blessing play Bloodborne at work was one of my funniest things ever.
Like, I get so anxious playing that game. It's ridiculous. But now I think I might actually return to it. But speaking of anxiety and games making us anxious, Resident Evil Village.
Yeah, Resident Evil Village, dude. Man. Capcom once again kind of getting the shaft because of leaks and stuff. Like, it sucked when it happened to Resident Evil 3 being announced during the State of Play, which that would have been such a major, huge reveal. But because it leaked, it was kind of like, this State of Play was whatever. And like, that sucks. And I feel like it's the same thing here, where it's like, we already knew everything we saw on that from all that stuff that leaked. But to me, this is still really exciting. We're getting Resident Evil games almost annually at this point. Like, this is awesome.
How many studios are working on it, I wonder? Like, are working on different Resident Evil franchises at any given time? Because, like, these games are gorgeous and they're super high quality, but it's not like Madden, you know? I wonder if they have like four different teams working at four different games at any given time. Because the amount that they're putting out and the amount of quality we're seeing is pretty, it's pretty high up there.
Totally.
Yeah, like for context, right? We got RE2 last year, RE3 this year. We're getting Resident Evil Village in 2021. And there's rumors about RE4 being remade, which is absolutely insane. And it has to stop at a certain point.
They have to be stopped.
And then with that Capcom not done, like a new IP, Pragmata, which we don't have confirmation, but I kind of assume is that the Dead Space Rider situation.
Oh, great question. Yeah, I can look into that.
I think it has to be. It looks awesome though.
Yeah, it looks really cool.
It looks weird as shit, which is I love.
Very much like a Kojima game, which is my jam.
As soon as I saw the weird net protective thing that he deployed, I just immediately thought of like the little from Death Stranding.
Oh, yeah.
It's just such weird technology.
The apparatus thing.
Yeah.
Where's throwing up? Did we shout out Gary Whitta yet?
No.
Hey, Gary.
Shout out to Gary Whitta. No, well, you know what I'm trying to do. Help me out. Go with the other thing. I'm trying to find this guy for you.
Gary Whitta helped write Project Athia. Got it.
Yeah.
So Gary and a team of other Luminous writers Productions. Helped write that shit.
Looks very like the writer we were talking about from before hasn't said if this is the same guy. Yeah, hasn't said what he's on yet that I can find here. So we can't help you with the Dead Space guy yet.
Nathia is the Square Enix game.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
I want to bring in a question and a comment. All right. So the nanobiologist wrote in patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, just like you can, to be part of our show, and says, "Hey guys, there were a lot of great games shown off today, but did it seem like there weren't as many exclusives as you expected? There were a lot of multi-platform games, and while I was very satisfied with what was shown off, except no Sly, come on, save him from Egypt already. I wish they had more first parties shown off the goods, or at least a tease as to what should be expected this next gen like Xbox is doing. Did you expect more first-party studios to show up as well, or were the third-party offerings that would be multi-plat enough to quench your thirst today? Thanks, the nanobiologist." Worth pointing out, as added to that, Aaron Greenberg tweeted 5 minutes ago, "Congrats to our friends at Sony on their show today. Xbox fans should know titles like GTA 5, Resident Evil Village, Hitman 3, NBA 2K21, Pragmata, etc. are going to look and play great on Xbox Series X, the world's most powerful console. Hashtag power your dream. Hashtag it's going to give it to you."
And I think they have to do that because I think we obviously we have to be as unbiased as possible. And whenever Xbox is showing a conference and they're showing off third party games that we get excited about, I think immediately the thing is, it's coming to PS4 as well or PS5 as well. Like, well, no, I mean, Sony's going to show off third party games that are going to go to PC and Xbox Series X. So I mean, I'm still excited for them. That doesn't lessen my excitement for it, you know?
Yeah.
And I also think with this conference, there are plenty of first parties. Like, the amount of exclusive games that they showed off, I think works, right? This is the amount I was expecting. Like, you look at Spider-Man exclusive, Gran Turismo exclusive, Ratchet & Clank exclusive, Returnal, the Housemarque game, which looks awesome, exclusive, Sackboy exclusive, Destruction All-Stars, I can't recall, but I think is exclusive, because I think that was a PlayStation Studios game. Godfall, I also think, might be exclusive.
No, that's not exclusive.
Is that not exclusive? Okay. They just revealed it as a PlayStation 5 game, but it's coming everywhere.
Destruction All-Stars is exclusive. That's my thing, is I think actually there was more than you think there were. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm not this man. Now I'm going to get Greg's an Xbox fanboy. But like, even the ones they're showing, like we're talking about, like Bugsnax is exclusive with the... I mean, like if we're counting PC, then no. But if you're talking about Xbox, yes, right? Bugsnax Playroom.
As far as like third party stuff,
exactly. I paste into the top before our thing, right? Like these would be exclusive from PS5 games from SIE Worldwide Studios and second party partners. That means they're exclusive. They're first party for all intents and purposes. Astro's Playroom, Demon's Souls, Destruction All Stars, Gran Turismo 7, Horizon Forbidden West, Spider-Man Miles Morales, Ratchet and Clank, Rift Apart, Returnal, Sackboy, A Big Adventure.
Then what a ridiculous list.
PlayStation 5 games from third-party publishers and developers. Bugsnax, that's exclusive. Again, I'm saying console exclusive. If you want to bring up PC, I understand. Deathloop, no. Ghostwire, no. Godfall, no. Goodbye Volcano High.
Oh, that's right. Godfall is only PS5 and PC. My bad.
Goodbye Volcano High is exclusive to PlayStation 5, PlayStation 4, and Steam. Again, I don't. If you want to use we're talking about PlayStation versus Xbox here, so I would include that.
Yeah.
Grand Theft Auto, clearly no. Hitman, no. Jet, yes. The Kenna. What did my notes say about Kenna? Did I put that? No, Kenna didn't have anything on it, but I guess technically the Bugsnax and Volcano High people didn't have. Yeah, they didn't have anything in front of them either saying that, like, this is a worldwide or PlayStation Studios thing. It's just maybe. So I would say maybe kind of, maybe not. Little Devil Inside, I'm not sure. NBA, no. Oddworld, no. I'm not sure about Oddworld. Primatica, no. Gary Widow's Project Athena, or Athia, no. Resident Evil, no. Solar Ash, I forget, did they say? What do my notes say on that?
I got to assume Solar Ash. No, Solar Ash was also shown at a Nintendo Switch thing one time, I think.
Gotcha. Athia is exclusive.
It is? Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right.
Your
you're
notes. Right, Project Athia design.
Sorry, I'm going off this stupid fucking list up here.
Oh, yeah, they did have that.
So I think there actually is a fair amount of exclusivity.
There's a lot of exclusives.
Here's the thing. Hold on. I have a question. How is this a fair amount? This is, like, utterly insane. Like, has this ever happened before where there's even close to this much?
I mean, I'm not that historic of a – I can't go
– I don't think there is.
I mean,
I really don't think
there is. It's the normal thing where it's like
– could be.
I think back to EA or E3 1994.
Yeah, like, that's my thing. Is like, this is the exact amount that I expect, given that, like, this was advertised as, like, a PlayStation 5 event. Like, I don't think you could really even surpass this as far as exclusives.
Yeah, unless everything was, right?
Yeah.
And that, yeah, no. And this is what we were talking about earlier in, you know, the shows leading up to this and making predictions, is that as a, I think, independent or third party, right, you have to start making these choices of where you're going. And these are the ones who went with PlayStation versus Xbox. And again, it's that argument of, like, yeah, okay, Bugsnax is exclusive. I'm sure it's exclusive at launch. You know what I mean? I'm sure 3-6 months, a year later, you're going to get it on Xbox, sure. But they're talking about right now of what you'd be getting out the gate for PlayStation 5.
Gary Witta in chat. Yes, you can lay it down. And also, congratulations, Gary.
Congratulations, Gary.
Congrats, Gary.
Oh, he was asking or saying that you can lay it down.
He was asking. Wait, so can you lay it down or not? I'm texting Greg. He's ignoring me.
We've been talking about that already.
Yeah, can we lay it down without the thing, though? Do we need a thing to lay it down?
Yeah, no, it comes with
apparently you do.
Comes with
it. But it comes with it.
Yeah, because you need that to also stand up vertically, apparently.
Oh, okay, hold on. Thing.
So I just Googled Deathloop, and getting a lot of conflicting information that's interesting. So Mike Futter tweeted, Deathloop and Ghostwire Tokyo are PS5 console exclusives. That's surprising.
Really?
That doesn't sound
somewhere
right.
Else, on just the Google thing, it does say it's coming to Xbox One. Bethesda themselves tweeted, good morning, Black Reef. Another day, another chance to break the time loop. At Deathloop, a killer next-gen shooter coming exclusively to PS5 and PC from Arkane.
Yeah. I'm looking
at an iPhone. Did we see Holiday 2020 in the thing?
No, I'm scrolling back to my Deathloop note.
Because that's another one.
Ghostwire Tokyo.
No, it did not say that on there. It did not say Deathloop was Holiday 2020. At least my notes don't say that.
That's pretty crazy.
That's super crazy if that's the case. Yeah, because I'm looking at the blog also.
The Bethesda blog?
I'm looking at the PlayStation blog that Nibel on Twitter, he references and says, according to the PlayStation blog, both Ghostwire Tokyo and Deathloop will be timed exclusives on PS5, coming to PC as well.
Okay, here you go. PlayStation 5 recap. Everything you need to know is finally up from the one and only Sid Schumann.
That's wild if that's the case.
Yeah, exclusively on consoles for PlayStation 5. With stunning and stylish environments, memorable combat encounters, and the freedom to tackle each mission at any pace and with any approach you choose, this is Arkane like you've never seen or felt before, but with next-gen in mind. Deathloop's being developed for a new gen of hardware and will launch on console exclusively for PlayStation 5.
Yeah, and that's what they say about Ghostwire, too.
Dude, that's, like, criminal. That's crazy.
Next-gen action-adventure game coming to consoles exclusively PlayStation 5 in 2021. That's Ghostwire.
Damn.
That's wild.
Yeah, and Godfall when it makes its console debut on PlayStation 5 and launches on PC this holiday season.
Man,
that's pretty shit. That sucks.
Yeah, it does. You suck. I definitely think it sucks. Like, with new IP like that, it's like you want to get it as many places as possible to give it a chance to really succeed. You know.
Yeah. But
it's not like it's Final Fantasy VII.
They're also coming to PC though, which is the thing. That's like the ground I'll give up, is that, like, they're them coming to PS5 exclusively for console and also to PC. I think isn't as criminal as if they were like only coming to PS5.
You know, but I'll be playing that 144 hertz, baby. Come on, let's go, baby. 1440p.
Man.
What a day, everyone. Sorry. This is always the fun slash horrifying part of doing it live, trying to keep up with everything. Riot Goes Woof wrote in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, good morning, KF crew. What a show. One thing that stuck out to me was when in closing they said, we believe in generational transitions. This struck me as interesting since Xbox seems to be doing the whole unifying the generations. Which style do you think more people are on board for? Thanks for all you guys do and have a great day.
I think it's a better thing to have this unified sort of, I think it's good for PR. I think it's good for marketing. I think people see that more as, oh, this, you know, Microsoft cares more about me as the consumer. I don't know what's preferred, honestly. I think that, you know, having backwards compatibility. I was talking to Snowbike Mike the other day from twitch.tv/snowbikemike.
Never heard.
And he was asking me about how important backwards compatibility is and unifying and, you know, having cross-gen and all this shit. And I don't know how often it's used, but I know that people care about those buzzwords a lot. And I just feel like Microsoft is doing a little bit better job with all those phrases, because I think it just helps out the consumer more and it makes them feel like they are cared about a little bit more.
Personally, I'm very excited that the two big guys are taking different approaches. I think that it's actually going to be really good for the industry. And I think that Sony's going to continue to deliver what we've been groomed to expect from them over the last decade. And I'm very excited to play these Sony exclusives on a PlayStation 5. But I think Xbox is kind of proving to be the better consumer product. And I think that this is going to give Xbox kind of a second chance to redefine what it is with Game Pass and with all of the different features and smart delivery and things that they've been touting for like the last year. And going in, like once we see Halo Infinite, I think that that's going to really, really define the difference between what the PlayStation 5 is going to be and what the next Xbox is going to be.
Yeah, that makes sense. I'm very much like a believer in generations. Like, I think what Xbox is doing on their side is good from a consumer standpoint, as far as like making it so that the transition from Xbox One to Series X is somewhat more seamless than it has been in the past. But I also think that like backwards compatibility and also generations being a thing aren't necessarily mutually exclusive, right? Like, you can still have the backwards compatibility in it with also like having those hard cuts between consoles. As far as like technology goes, I don't necessarily know how you can make it so that you don't have that cut at a certain point, right? Like, even when we look at, I know like iPhones are usually what we point at when we're talking about generations not necessarily meaning as much, but even with iPhones, right? Like, there are apps that aren't going to work at a certain point if your phone is too old. And like, I think that's just like the natural evolution of technology, is that at a certain point, like, things aren't going to run because things have just advanced.
And you don't want software to hold back your console. You don't want that software to hold it back. Yeah.
And so, like, I think that's the exciting thing for me, is that, you know, looking at games that are going to be exclusively on next gen, that means those games are going to be able to take advantage of the hardware in ways that the current gen can't. And that for me is exciting. And that for me is good. And that for me is like a thing that kind of needs to continue so that games can get better and better. And so that's kind of how I look at it.
Yeah, it's as we've talked about leading into this, right? Just the tale of two different companies and how they're fighting it out and how they're actually going to have these different visions work out. And I think that it's interesting to see the race go back and forth in this tennis match, right? As they return in volley of Xbox getting out in front of it with Xbox Series X, showing it at Game Awards, getting everybody hyped for it, right? Then to get here to the summer and have their third party conference not go over extremely well. Then have PlayStation show up right now with a bunch of exclusives and really cool looking games and the hype of announcing what the console actually looks like. Now I'm super stoked to see what Xbox responds with when they come back to the table, right? And they say, all right, cool, let's get back into what our first party lineup is, what our exclusives are, why you need to be there. But then, yeah, it does come down to, what is the real reaction we'll see. This is brand new territory of PlayStation's doing the same thing, right? Of like, hey, PlayStation 5, it's a new machine, it's a new thing, let's get in here. Xbox is doing the same thing they've been doing, what we've talked about with backwards compatibility, what we've talked about with Game Pass, and seeing if it'll capitalize. If they come out and that first party lineup is awesome and huge and great and amazing, and Halo Infinite looks like a return to form for Halo and all this different stuff, that's all awesome. If I can still play that on my Xbox One, and I'm talking as a general consumer, if I can still play that on my Xbox One X, Xbox One X, am I motivated to go, well, I still should buy the new Xbox Series X, or should I say, you know what, I can play these games. They're only launching with Halo. That's all I care about. I'll put my money into the PlayStation 5 and instead reap the rewards of this unified Xbox system and then go from there.
Like, the way I see that, though, is I don't see that as a bad thing. And I think that...
Oh, I don't either. I'm just saying it's different.
And it is different. And I think that, you know, we look back to, you know, the generations of the past where, you know, back in the day, it was the console wars involving Sega. Sega's gone now. And then we look back to where Nintendo made the insane decision to not compete with the HD consoles of the 360 and the PS3. And they're like, we're going to do something totally different. And, you know, that had a lot of ramifications, both positive and negative for Nintendo fans. But I think it got them where they are now with the Switch, where we're back, baby. You know, it's like we're at this point where even back then it was like the, oh, are you a PS Wii guy or a, you know, the Wii 60, like all that stuff where it's like you had one of the HD consoles and you also had the Wii. And I think that we now it's like, cool, you have, let's say, the PlayStation 4 and you also have the Switch, or the Xbox One, you also have the Switch. I can see a world where it's like people are gamers just want to play the games. It's like you have your Switch, you have your PS5, and yeah, you're going to have Game Pass, whatever way that is that you're going to pay for Game Pass, whether it's eventually on smartphones or this or that. Like, you're going to be playing Halo. You're going to be able to play Halo. And that's what Microsoft wants at the end of the day.
Yeah. They want to get you in that door. They want you in that ecosystem. They want you using Game Pass. They want you understanding all of the benefits they've done. However, what I think is interesting is that whenever we talk about Xbox Lockhart and we talk about them making this digital only box, the argument, right, has been that they would do that because, you know, Project xCloud is so successful and getting ready for a bigger launch. Game Pass is such a huge hit right now. Clearly, they see their future being digital in that way. It's interesting to see PlayStation, who, granted, PlayStation Now is a success and does incredibly well, and we've talked about that to death. I just don't think it has the juice behind it Game Pass does. It's interesting to see PlayStation showing this digital-only box, and I wonder what that actually means for when PlayStation does decide to do the conference, the blog post, the Wired article talking about price and release date and UI. How much are they going to talk about what PlayStation Now means and what changes are coming to that and how they want to incentivize you to use that?
Yeah, that's interesting. But like, looking at this, more than ever, I believe that the Xbox Lockhart exists and is going to be $60 or less. I think it's going to be a dongle type situation that just gets you into accessing cloud stuff. And I think that PlayStation's obviously taking a very different approach with this. And this type of digital doesn't read cloud to me. It reads download to me.
Sure.
Right.
You're right.
But also, there's just so many things we don't know about PlayStation that it's like almost silly to assume anything, because we don't know what the features are of the UI and all that stuff.
Yeah, there's more story to be sold. I'm curious on what this means on the Xbox side, as far as the digital console is concerned, because I'm not necessarily sold that it's going to be a streaming box. Like, I don't think Xbox believes that we're at that point yet to where, sure, that can be like a sole use for a box. I think that might be like maybe 4 or 5 years away. But it does make me think like what the pricing is going to be comparatively, because my whole idea as far as what the goal of Lockhart would be with the Xbox Series X is like, hey, we'll put out the Xbox Series X, we'll advertise this as the most powerful box. We'll also put out the Lockhart, and we won't advertise it this way, but the idea of it is it'll be the cheapest box, right? And so we can put out, let's say, Series X at $500 and Lockhart at $300, and that way, you know, we expect the PS5 to be maybe $400. We can choke it out from there. In a world where both, I know that's like a gruesome way to put it, but in a world where now we have the PS5 and the PS5 digital version, and we don't know the pricing, I think that puts Microsoft in a very interesting place, in kind of a predicament as far as like what their two boxes are going to be, especially if the Lockhart isn't just a streaming box. If that is like, hey, this is going to be a box, but it's digital only, and it's not as powered as the Xbox Series X. I wonder where all those cards lay, because I could see it be a thing where don't know, man, maybe Lockhart is 300 and then PS5 digital is 400 and then Series X and PS5 are 500. Like, I wonder what that means in terms of where the cards lay there.
I would be so interested to see Microsoft's reactions to all of this. Like, are the prices set in stone? Have they been set in stone? Mm-hmm. And might they change depending on whatever Sony does with whatever press release they're going to do? It's got to be some sort of press release, right? I don't think they'll devote a video to pricing.
No, yeah, it'll be like a blog post.
Yeah.
But I wonder what the conversations are, because I've been reading like theories and ideas on Twitter and stuff between like people in like the media, and I forget who it was. It might have either been Jason or Jeff Grubb or somebody who was like, oh yeah, they still don't know. Like, they're not at a place where they know the price. Talking about both Sony and Microsoft. And like, there was somebody who said this. Somebody was saying that like Microsoft's waiting for Sony to go. And I think there's also been reports in the past that Sony's waiting for Microsoft to go. And, you know, that's why I was convinced we're not seeing price today. And
according to Jeff Grubb, the Summer Game Mess, we still got a state of play in August.
And we got Xboxing Day, which is also on that thing, which is, I think, also in August. August.
Yeah.
And I think that's the latest. Like, that's the latest we can go without seeing prices. Mm-hmm. And I know things are also weird right now in terms of the world being on fire and like people not having disposable income and how that's going to affect things. And so we're in a very interesting place, because for all intents and purposes, like, we pretty much know that Lockhart is a thing, right? Like, that's been a known rumor. That's been a thing that we've kind of understood to be true, unless like they somehow cancel it. Like, that's the thing that's going to happen. I wonder where those numbers lay in probably August, when they finally come out and are comfortable enough to be like, all right, we're gonna put our foot down and say a number. Like, I wonder how those things play out, because I think that's gonna be very crucial now that there's two versions of the PS5.
I thought we were gonna get some sort of UI presentation once they started showing the other devices that come with the box, when they started showing the camera and the controller. Oh, yeah. And there was even that small moment before the Astro bot sort of intro, where it showed the DualSense thing and it was like, hit the button. I thought we were going to see some sort of deep dive into it, but no, they just went straight into AstroBot to show off, I guess, the motion sense or whatever.
Yeah.
God, it's so interesting, man.
I'm sorry to be so quiet here. I've just been trying to compile all this to make more sense of it and get an actual handle on the situation. Back to Nano's point in Aaron Greenberg's tweet, like, it's a fucking lie. Like, there are so many exclusives here. Like, right now, and I'm trying to cobble it together, right? I'm going to list every game that's exclusive, console exclusive. Astro's Playroom, Demon's Souls, Destruction All-Stars, Gran Turismo 7, Horizon, Spider-Man, Ratchet & Clank, Returnal, Sackboy. Again, those are all the worldwide studio ones, right? Here we go, though. Bugsnax, Deathloop, Ghostwire, Godfall. I forget. Did we say yes or no on that one?
Yes.
Like, console time exclusive. Yeah.
So Godfall, Goodbye Volcano High, Jet, Oddworld, Project Athena, Solar Ash, Stray, Tribes of Midgard, The Pathless. That leaves the ones that are out there: Resident Evil, Pragmata, NBA 2K, whatever the hell, Hitman, Grand Theft Auto. The only two then that I'm unsure of right now and I'm trying to figure out is Kena, Bridge of the Spirits, and Little Devil Inside. So that's a ridiculous list of things that are console exclusive to this. That's ridiculous.
It's a crazy list of exclusives. I agree.
We did get this a tweet from Slade Steel Stole that's showing us Insomniac's tweets both regarding Ratchet and Spider-Man. And on the Ratchet thing, their description says coming exclusively to PS5. However, the Spider-Man one has no coming exclusively to PS5. It just says come in holiday 2020.
Real quick, Nebellion says Resident Evil Village special developer message based on the newest version of RE Engine, a bit more action oriented, no load times. Takes place years after 7. You play as Ethan, new inventory. Cool.
Ethan Hunt.
IGN.com is reporting that Kena Bridge of Spirits is a PlayStation console exclusive.
Damn.
And then Little Devil Inside on IGN is broken.
That's crazy. That's then like a crazy list of exclusives. When you look at this conference as a whole, that's like more than I even thought. And so,
yeah, that's the thing, is it just keeps getting deeper the more and stuff you find. Yeah, it's crazy.
Man,
to the Spider-Man thing, though, They also do hashtag Miles Morales PS5 and hashtag Spider-Man PS5.
The
yeah, your only chance there of going anywhere else is PC, but I don't. That's not going to be at launch. I don't.
Well, PS4.
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize. Yes.
This has nothing to do with just games or anything, but I just saw a great meme of how I am after today's reveal, and it's Tiger King, where he's like, I'm never going to be able to financially recover from this. There's so many games, man. So many quality-looking games that I would definitely be into. It's crazy.
I have one other question I want to get in here for sure. It's Ignacio Rojas. He writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, what's up, KF crew? We just learned that the PS5 will have an all-digital version, a move no one saw coming. Realistically, what do you think the price difference between the versions will be? Keep in mind that taking away a disc reader doesn't reduce that much of a production price. For example, the Xbox SAD edition only was $50 cheaper. As we start to wrap up this and move, you know, I mean, we're reacting for this, but like, what do you guys think in terms of what the price is actually going to be? Make some predictions here. Blessing.
It's bizarre because there also isn't a huge size difference either. Like, so it's got to be a huge difference to entice you to go for the discless version. Like, otherwise I don't really see, like, why would I get the discless version for just a little bit less bump? Or
my gut tells me 4 and 6.
Yeah.
4 and 6? Like 400 and 600?
Yeah. 406,000.
I'd go 3 and 5.
I'd go 3 and.
You guys think it's gonna be a $200 difference?
I'll go 350 and 5.
I think that $100 difference just doesn't make sense to even do it.
I think $100 difference makes more sense on paper, but I also think that a $200 difference, while it sounds ridiculous. Think about it on the other side of it, though. It's that you now get to cut out retail, which is what everybody's been trying to do forever. So even if it is the idea of like, yeah, you're taking a bath, and the fact that, yeah, it's a $50 hard drive, let's say, or whatever it is, that $200 you lose on every machine or whatever then gets recouped in the fact that, guess what? You're still charging $60 in the PlayStation Store, but you're not splitting that with the distributor anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's a good point. That's very good.
Let's say you're not, they're not even buying that many games. They're signing up for PlayStation Now. They're signing up for PlayStation Plus. Like, you're buying this thing, and no matter what, once you buy that thing, you're only getting your games from PlayStation. You're
guys,
no longer
4K
having
Blu-ray is the future. What are you all talking about, guys?
You just bought your Lord
of the
Rings.
You can finally play them. That's fantastic.
Yeah. Yep.
Unlike the PS4 Pro.
Let's make a pizza bet right here. Pizza bet right here, guys. I'm going 350, 500.
I'm going 450. That's a very good point as far as like the return they're going to make on digital and on services. I'm going to say 400, 500. I was going to say 500, 600 because of all, like, there's been a lot we've talked about as far as how much it costs to manufacture these things and how they've kind of been struggling with price, which I assume leads to them being like, all right, we got to make 2 SKUs. And I think that is a very great answer to be like, hey, we'll lose money on the digital only versions, but that money is going to be made back through everything else, and then we will make money on the non-digital versions by selling at 500, or we'll cut even, or whatever that math ends out being. So yeah, 400, 500 is what I'm gonna say.
Yeah, it's weird for me to like lock in something because I feel like both of them will be between 400 and 600. Like, I confidently feel that. I'll put my bet at 4 and 6 just to keep it clean. But
I'm thinking between 1 and 800, both of them.
Wow.
Yeah,
getting ballsy out there.
Uh-huh. I also assume they don't know the price yet, and so.
Oh, sure, but neither do we. Yeah, we're just guessing.
I think they know the price, and that's why there's two. But Greg brings up a very good point about the retailer stuff.
I'm writing out prices. I need to see it. You know what I mean?
I like that Miles Morales got a haircut.
God, Spider-Man Miles Morales is
crazy,
bro. Coming out this year.
I skimmed through it a little bit, and like, he has this ability where he turns invisible, like in gameplay. Oh, let's fucking go,
Senor Morales.
I'm gonna say 350, 450.
Ew, I don't like that.
That is insane.
I don't like it either.
Crazy.
I don't like it.
I don't like what are you going to bet?
If I see that on the shelf,
I'm here playing the game. Calm down.
If I see that on the shelf, I'm not buying a PS5.
Like, if I see that it's 450, I'll be like, I'll pay 500 for that, sir.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'll pay the extra $50.
Oh my god, what fun times! God,
we're having fun, guys.
What a great presentation! You know what I mean?
E3, baby.
You didn't get it. Good one. Yeah, E3 is finally here. We're finally a part of E3.
We even talk about Returnal. Returnal looks cool.
There's a bunch of games. I mean, we haven't like talked about. Not a bunch.
All but, these
like,
games look so cool.
Yeah, like, yeah, exactly.
I'm sure we're going to be talking about them for months to come.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, as we go back and forth. And not to mention, of course, tune in. We keep talking about The Last of Us, the review we're going to do tonight. Tune in tomorrow for Kind of Funny Games Daily, where I'm sure a lot of this will crystallize and we'll have more press releases and more official word on what's happening, where it's happening, why it's happening, because that's what we do on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, and podcast services around the globe. Any closing thoughts, gentlemen? Was this a success? Was it the best? Did Sony win E3?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, for all intents and purposes. Also, shout out to The Pathless, which is a game that was revealed before. And as they were showing it during the conference, I was like, oh, I don't know what this game is, but it looks like this other game that I'm very excited about. And then they ended up showing the name, and I was like, oh, all right, cool. Yeah, this is the same game I'm very excited about.
Look, man, here's my thoughts on this are it's fun to compare it to other things, to the Xbox and to what other people are doing. But it's like all of that aside, I'm excited for the game they showed me today. Like that to me is why this is a success. Is it doesn't matter about the competition. These games look freaking rad. They speak to me. I cannot wait for Ratchet and Clank. This
pick
is
a awesome. Fucking side, bro. No, I'm kidding. I agree with everything Tim said.
I want to ask you the question. The very final thing is, when do you think it's actually coming out and release dates? But this is an interesting question. Nothing but nerdy in the Twitch chat, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames says, how do you think they'll handle playing your digital PS4 games on PS5, The Last of Us Part 2 and Ghost? More interesting, I think, is, and I guess this is just to the consumer, right? Of if you want, let's say you wanted to save the money and buy the digital version. What if you only had disc-based games? That's just on you, I guess, to figure it out. But like, it's interesting. Of like, you're buying your Last of Us Part 2 disc, and then you're gonna buy a PlayStation 5 discless. You're fucked. But again, you would save up the money and do it, I guess.
I'm still not even sold that like we're gonna be able to put our PS4 discs into a PS5.
Ah, you're crazy. They're backwards compatible that way. That's how it's gonna work. Don't worry
about it. Oh, let's wrap the show up before we go down this path.
You want to talk about smart delivery too, ladies and gentlemen? This has been PS I Love You XOXO. Remember, each and every Tuesday morning, normally, Blessing and I are here to talk about all things PlayStation with you. If you like that, head over to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where you can get each and every episode ad-free along with a post-show. Not this one, because we're going to review The Last of Us. Of course, you can also ask your questions there. It'll be the PSN profile of the week and all sorts of stuff on normal, non-crazy-ass holiday shows like this one. Tim Geddes, yes. When is the PlayStation 5 coming out?
I don't remember what I've predicted before, but I stick with it. It's like, I think I said November 13th.
Yeah.
Without looking at a calendar.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now. I'm throwing it back up here. Blessing, when do you think we're getting the PlayStation 5?
November 13th.
Yeah? Okay.
Yeah.
Andy?
November 6th.
Yeah. I'm going to be with Andy and say November 6th.
Yeah. I think it's safe to say it's going to be within 3 weeks of that.
Okay. Whew, man.
Ladies and gentlemen, exciting times in front of us for all things video games. Keep it tuned to Kinda Funny. And until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.